We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Haven't heard by now, we are partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using the BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD, and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your own hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. And three, you will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the Final Four. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love, a nice little parlay boost, as well as a ridiculous array of prop bets on anything that you could possibly imagine betting on. BetMGM is and always will be the king of the prop bet. So go download the BetMGM app and use that code FIELD to sign up today. By now, you guys have surely heard about Autograph, an app founded by Tom Brady with the intention of disrupting the way that fans consume content covering their favorite teams. Here's how the app works. All of the podcasters and bloggers and digital creators covering a team have their content sent to that team's page in Autograph. Instead of having to bounce from site to site or try to navigate the only safe for work spaces that are left on X, you just scroll through Autograph. This isn't a hard sell. This is the truth. I'm a UConn fan. I use the Autograph app to keep up with the writers I read and the pods that I listen to. The best part is that every piece of content that you consume gives you reward points. The more you get, the more chances you have at things like discounted tickets and signed memorabilia. Whether you are a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. After a six-month season loaded with cross-country travel, I can promise you that proper recovery is a priority for me these days. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of The Field of 68. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or the EE system. If you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in New Jersey or at one of the hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. If you're interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/unified68 to learn more and find a center near you. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system.
Back to the Field of 68, live from the Final Four Husk Brewing Company. We are on East Monroe Street. Come stop and see us. We're watching. We have the NIT championship game on in the background. And Hinkle Fieldhouse does not have an empty seat. Like, I know it's the NIT, it's not the NCAA tournament, but Sycamore fans have filled it up. Obviously, Josh Schertz's name is rumored at St. Louis, and he could take that job. He could make that official as soon as later on tonight. But cool to see those two teams are going down the wire with 3 minutes left.
Oh!
Indiana State just went up 7. Might hit a dagger 3 there.
I'm on Indiana State money line.
Dagan.
Are you?
I'm on Indiana State.
John Henson.
I'm on Indiana State money line.
What's the line?
Henson's
money line.
Henson took money line Indiana State.
Yeah,
smart guy.
Indiana State, yes, you know.
Let's get back to this Final Four here as we hit
my pick of the day on the Doug Gottlieb show was Indiana and the points. Indiana State and the points.
Really?
So what was it? Three and a half.
3.5. We partner with BetMGM.
I just took it.
Partner with BetMGM.
That's how much of a lock it is.
I think the latest I saw,
yeah, so much of a lock it is.
Purdue and NC State is at 9.5, and then you got
NC State has no shot.
UConn, Alabama's at
11.5.
So is that a hammer? Is that
None.
A hammer?
Why? Why do they have no shot?
Because I love that they put Michael O'Connell as a guy who is a pass first and second, shoot third point guard. I love they got a true point guard, and he's just moving the ball, and that's changing. But DJ Burns has dominated this tournament. He can't do nothing with that big dude. That guy's too big. He can't do nothing with that guy.
Tell
nothing.
Me. What would what,
with that guy?
Does NC State have a
that
shot?
That dude is so big.
Yeah.
Unless you can shoot threes, unless you can move.
I was on with Robbie Hummel today, and he was saying that when Purdue has guys like Burns, they might put the four on him and then just help with Edie. So I don't know if that's going to be their strategy, but I think Edie on him would be just fine. I don't know. What do you think, RC? I don't see a path to winning regardless, but
I'm not saying that they can win, but yeah. I do think you guys are and I say this. He plays off the field because he wants to feel your body, and he spins off you to create angles.
Yeah.
And I think the way you defeat length and athleticism is finishing off angles. And I think he be effective enough in that and dribble handoffs with Horn. He needs his perimeter guys to make shots in DHOs to pull Edie away from the basket to give him room or angle to finish. So
well, here's let me support you on that, okay? The one thing and frankly it's something that it's really hard for me based upon who I play with to sometimes watch is Keats lets those wings go.
He let
and again, the reason that they're so much better now is they have one less dude who tries to go get his.
Yeah.
Okay? But those other two, like Marcel, like they can go get buckets.
Right.
Now, if they go crazy, yeah, I could. The problem is that Purdue is so disciplined.
Yes.
And they're so physical. Now, what I do like about playing Middlebrooks, and like he's a lot like some of those Purdue guys. Comes in, fouls the crap out of you, offensive rebounds, just energy guy, not a ton of skill at that level, not a ton of athletic talent at that level. But again, like Purdue's got like three or four guys like that. That just come in and hammer you. And you pay so much attention to Edie, so much attention to him, that they shoot and miss, and all of a sudden they get an offensive rebound, kick out, and hit a three. Like, that's their best offense.
Let's talk about Edie. What impresses you the most about the two-time National Player of the Year?
I'd say the hardest thing for me in my career was taking my time down low. That was the biggest thing. Taking my time, and I think the way he's so patient – and the way he controls the game, that is something that I'm super impressed with because they're coming at him all different ways, and he never speeds him up.
We welcome on with the redeemed
long time no see, man. Look, man, this is my guy.
Jerome Tang.
As quiet as it's kept.
Man, look.
I made his first offer.
Listen.
Really?
Yep.
In the gym.
Yep.
In the gym. This is my first offer. Baylor was on me before anybody.
Is that right?
True story. And back in the day, you couldn't like directly offer. So he goes to my dad. He goes, "We want to offer your son a scholarship to Baylor. Just want to let you know, I'm right there beside him. First offer I ever got. Baylor was on me early. They
by
got
the
an
way,
eye.
Henson, just so you know, they offered 22 other players at your position.
That's fine. They were still the first school to really introduce me to the recruiting world. And they had PlayStations in the locker. I mean, I was like,
yes,
I was locked
what'd
in.
You think of him? What'd you see in this guy?
Length, touch, and at that time, you're still trying to figure out where your hands and your feet were.
Yep,
you could see it. The
tangly
touch.
Dude, right?
Yeah, touch. You can't teach touch.
Yeah, for sure.
So what – we've talked to a lot of coaches already about this, about the portal, and it's almost surprising to see you walking around because it's almost like – can you not be locked into the portal? We think you're literally sitting in front of your laptop watching film of every player right now to try to get a feel for what's going on. You already got a pretty good player out of the portal. I don't know if we can talk about it yet.
Yeah, he signed.
He did.
Yes.
All right, so go ahead.
Yeah, Doug McDaniels.
Yeah. Huge
for us. Yeah. Man, big time player, super competitor, you know, just a terrific kid. We're so fired up about it, man. And
you love those small guards.
Yeah, well, you know,
right?
Their size does not determine size.
No, I know, but you've had success with them.
Yeah. Oh man.
Which helps.
Yes. No, it does, but he's a blur.
So tell me what life is like right now. If you had to describe again, right now you're out. Your wife's over there. You're gonna try to, you know, have a night where you actually enjoy yourself. But how you've been in this a long time and seen it change right now. Be honest with me a little bit. Like, what's it like right now? Because there's no real downtime like there used to be.
Well, you know, when I got hired a couple of years ago, people asked me if it was a whirlwind. Yeah. And it really wasn't a whirlwind at that time. Yeah. This is a whirlwind. Yeah. So, like, I've got 7 guys on staff who can recruit, right? They're making phone calls. They're watching film. They're talking to 5 recruits, and every recruit has at least 2 people around them, right? So that turns into 15.
And they all have, like, 2 agents.
Right. And then you have 15 times 7. Yeah. All of them want to talk to me.
Right.
And they're all hitting me like, coach, call this person, call that person,
so
talk
to
this
say?
Person.
What do you do?
I'm on the phone constantly talking to them. And while I'm talking to 1, 3 other guys go in the portal.
Right.
A lot of coaches say, well, this isn't what I originally got into it for. This isn't the original reason why I got into it. How do you manage through that of like, look, this is so different from what it used to be, while also still loving it?
Yeah, I'm passionate about developing young men, right? And so I know that we pray before every one of our staff meetings, God, send us the ones you want us to have and block the ones that you don't. You know, and we've been real fortunate. God's been very favorable to us in sending us the right guys. And so our number one priority is take care of the guys we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we do a good job there, then the ones we want to stay are going to stay, and the ones that need to leave are going to leave. And then we have to go out and find guys to replace them. And now it's about finding guys that fit what we are about, who we are about, what we believe in, and how we want to do business every day.
How do you balance developing guys as players and potentially losing them? Is that a thought in the sense of when you're recruiting a guy for the portal, like, hey, look, you think he's going to stay? Hey, this might be a one-year guy. Like, how does that go into thinking?
Well, you know, the crazy thing is that I have a really good friend, Tim Maloney. And he told me, he said, you teach basketball, but you coach people. And so really, I'm spending every year trying to coach the person, trying to help these guys become better. Because they become better men, they'll become better basketball players. And if they're with us for a couple of years and we get them to a point and they feel like there's someplace else that can take them to the next spot, then, man, we're going to love them at a distance.
Your energy, I think I've always said this, your energy is – the only person I think might have more, Pat Kelsey, might have more than you. He might have more, believe it or not. But your energy is so contagious, and I think that's one of the things that you brought to that Kansas State program and that fan base. And, you know, we know they're crazy, right? They're crazy. How much, again, going from being an assistant to a head coach, have you changed?
Ooh. Well, you know, being with Scott all those years, Scott allowed you to act like a head coach.
Yep.
You know, take ownership of parts of the program and make it your own. Yep. And you know, and that's what helped prepare me. And so Dream Dowlin, he tells guys right now, hey, Coach Tang's recruiting like an assistant. You know, that's what we have to do, right? Because that's the lifeblood of the program. I'm not that good of a coach. I got to get good players. And so that's why I'm fired up about Doug McDaniels and the next set of guys that are coming in.
You're 45 and 25 in 2 years at Kansas State. That's pretty damn good, and you did a lot of good at Baylor. I'm curious. This is the thing that this guy we talk about. Like, look, as a traditionalist, he's an Arizona grad. It's weird seeing the Pac-12 totally break up.
I hate it.
But you've got Arizona coming into your league, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah. Like, this league was already the best in college basketball. How is that going to work?
Well, hopefully they invite more teams to the tournament. I know some of you guys, traditionalists, aren't for
tell
that.
Tell us why.
Dude, wait,
why?
Hold on. All I'll say is this. If they keep putting me in the 7th floor, I ain't coming to your tournament again.
No, he's saying more TV.
I know it is. I know it is.
But why should the NCAA tournament expand?
Because of this that's going on right now. Indiana State, Seton Hall, 77-77, 31 seconds to go in the game.
128 both, teams in the tournament.
Both of those teams should have been in the NCAA tournament.
If the tournament is great the way it is, it's great. 68's a good number.
Well, people used to say,
"Oh, Dre Davis to the bucket, 15 seconds left. Sycamore's down by two. Seton Hall has not won a championship since 1953. Clock down to 8.1, and Josh Schertz says, the St. Louis job can wait. I want a timeout."
That was a really good timeout, by the way. He let them go in transition, see if they could catch the defense.
And they did.
You know, be organized when they're disorganized. And when the defense got organized, he called the timeout.
Isn't the NCAA tournament the best event in sport?
It is. So why wouldn't we want more people to experience it?
I don't want to water it down.
How does that water it down? So are the playing games watered down?
Are the playing games for what?
The playing games for the NCAA tournament watered down.
Kind of.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I love it the way it is. I think it's great because I don't want to see, no offense, but I don't want to see some team that's like under 500 overall going to the NCAA tournament.
We'll see that. If we go to
96, we'll see it.
You know that you got college football, like there are more bowl games.
Doesn't mean it's good.
I got you, but those.
The only reason the bowl games are good because everybody's gambling on them.
Coaches get to go to bowl games. They don't mean a shit.
Do you think that if you expand the tournament, there will start being opt-outs for guys that are maybe potential pro prospects? Prospects are like, I'm not about to play another 3 weeks before I even get into the. You think everyone's going to say, hey, look, I can.
Everyone starts the season wanting to play in this event.
You're right.
In this event right here.
Everyone wants the chance because bowl games are irrelevant. You're not playing for anything.
If I'm 96 teams and I got a path, I got to play, you know.
I don't think that matters.
10 games.
I don't think that would matter. Yeah.
If you go to 80 teams.
Mm-hmm. 80 teams is a good number.
More games on that Tuesday, Wednesday.
Again, I have one idea for expansion.
I like this idea, too.
I like it if we expand it all, and it's basically to pit the final four high majors against the final four mid majors, play them against each other to get in the main bracket. So it's almost a play-in.
Yeah.
So you're adding like eight teams to play-in. Because what's the argument? The argument is, do they deserve Indiana State or Virginia?
Oh, he fouled him.
And everybody's now saying it's the Sycamores. Did he get fouled?
Shoot.
For the win. That's it.
Oh.
Seton Hall has won the NIT. Shaheen Holloway and the Pirates, for the first time in 71 years, have won a championship nationally.
Did we play in the NIT this year? I don't even know.
Wow. Yeah, we did. Lost to Iowa.
Okay.
Yeah, at their
place.
Shows
you how much. It's hard to follow everything. It is. Once the NCAA tournament starts, I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Can you give more kids opportunities? What's so bad about that? I don't disagree with you there, but I do feel like it's a good number. And again, people always compare it to the bowl games. And I'm like, but so many of these bowl games don't matter. They don't really matter. Just because there's a bigger percentage of football coaches playing in the postseason doesn't mean that's a good thing.
No, I'm with you there on that. But I just know that a few more games in that round that we play anyhow, it doesn't take away anything, gives more kids a chance to play in the tournament, more coaches an opportunity, keep their jobs one more year.
Do a mid versus high. Because then I would be intrigued.
Yes.
But I don't want to see, no offense, but I'm not sure I want to see you guys this year against the 12th place team in the ACC.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? Did you feel like you earned a spot this year? You were close. You played well at the end.
Yeah, our resume was close.
Right.
But we lost some close games that we didn't need to lose.
Right.
You know, we need to win one more non-conference.
It means more. It means more. It's more, I don't know. It just means more to have 64.
But I would have loved to see Tyler Perry have a chance to play.
Of course.
In this, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. He had a great year.
He did. No and he chose to come to us. For the chance to play in the NCAA tournament.
I hear you.
Now, I'm gonna ask you the question of, you've been a great coach, great assistant, now getting your head coach opportunity, which is much deserved. the way that our world works, names get brought up on the coaching carousel all the time. Your name, it's not news that your name gets brought up with things. What's your message to Kansas State fans right now?
Man, I'm real thankful that I'm not on Jeff Goodman's hot seat right now. Right? See, that's it. Like you're either doing well and somebody's putting your name in for a job, or you're not doing well and Jeff Goodman's got you on the hot seat. And I'm with Brad Brunell right now. I'm happy to be off the hot seat.
I tried to get him to commit.
Scott Drew has never been on the hot seat. How about that? 20? How many years? 22? What's he been there?
Yeah, this is 22.
He's never been on my hot seat. How about, this is a great story. I don't know if I've said this. I think I have, about Matt Painter. And I told him this today. Matt Painter, 10 years ago, was on my hot seat. He had two really bad years at Purdue. Mm-hmm. And he called me, and he says, like, most guys are calling me, and they're dropping F-bombs on me. You know, I can't believe it. Matt Painter says, you know what? I deserve to be in the hot seat. Like, how many dudes do that?
Yeah.
Not many.
Well, Painter's a truth teller.
Oh, my gosh.
And
yes.
He totally is. He's a truth teller. That's why you see his teams, like, they do the way they do. He looks those guys in the eyes, tells them the truth in recruiting, gets them on campus, you know, lives up to his word with them, and that's why they love him. I thought that hug. Zach Edey ran by everyone to go hug Painter when they won that game. Right? But, man,
says a lot.
Yeah, it says a lot, man.
When you look at your job and Kansas State as a program, the Big 12 is obviously stacked with big-time brands and big-time programs. What do people nationally not appreciate about Kansas State basketball?
Well, there's a history there, right, of the Final Fours, Sweet 16s. You know, I think we've gone to more Sweet 16s than ever, except for maybe 15 programs in the country. You know, so there's a history of basketball. It is a basketball school. Our fan base, man, they are passionate. Passionate. Yeah. And you feel it.
Listen, when I was there for that Kansas game, 2 years ago?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure there was a better atmosphere that I've been to in the last 2 years. And I've been to some good ones. That was unbelievable. Your fan base is. I mean, they're electric, and you know how to get them going, too. I mean, how many coaches are going to go in the crowd after the games like that?
Well, man, I just appreciate everything the students do for us. And not just our athletic program, right, but what they do in the community. They do so much philanthropic work there and taking care of our community and work in the elementary schools. And, man, our students go way above and beyond. And so I want them to know how much I appreciate them in wins and losses.
Fanny, do you know when I first met this guy, do you know where he was coaching?
Heritage.
Heritage Christian. Yep. Heritage Christian. Another prep school coach.
Yep.
Where's Heritage Christian?
Cleveland, Texas, about 45 minutes north of Houston.
So how did you meet him?
On the circuit.
Yeah, that's right.
And what'd you think? What'd you think of this guy?
I was like, who is this dude?
Oh, hey,
who
is this dude? I got a Dan Hurley story.
Go ahead.
Oh, this is good. This is good.
We're at the one of the tournaments in Ohio. It's a really good tournament they have in Ohio.
Oh, I know which one, though.
Carnival Ohio.
Flying
to the hoop at Walsh University?
Yes. And so we're out there, and, you know, everybody has a practice time and an auxiliary gym, and ours is like 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's 8 to 9, and then he's coming in afterwards, and we're in there, and I'm probably running a little bit late, but trying to wrap the guys up and get out, and he's waiting for me, and I get done, and I said, hey, coach, I'm sorry, man. Sorry we're running a little late. He said, coach, man, I'm just happy to see you in here. A lot of coaches don't bring their guys in 8 o'clock in the morning to work, you know. And he said, we're about to get in some work here. And I always remember that, man. Just, you know, he was early with his team, ready to go, and we ran a little late. He was gracious to let us stay a little bit longer and real kind. So happy for him.
The one thing about this dude is, again, had some opportunities to coach, and he waited his turn. He waited for the right one. Right?
Yeah.
You waited for the right one.
I love that
about it. And a lot of guys, like, you wonder, did I make the right move? Turning down some of those jobs that you turned down. But certainly, listen, you got a great job. You got a great fan base. And you've had a hell of a first 2 years.
Yeah, well, we're thankful. Got an unbelievable staff. And we're blessed to be in Manhattan and excited about what we have for the future.
Appreciate Jerome it.
Jerome Tang.
Coach.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Jerome Tang.
Thank one, you. Hey, one of the greatest guys, man. So.
Thank
you.
You
are.
Even though you turned him down.
Hey, go Cats.
Even though you turned him down.
Listen, man.
First offer.
Listen, I swear.
First offer. What about loyalty?
Baylor was, they were right there, though. Not like I, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
North Carolina got me in the trenches. North Carolina got No, but Baylor, you know, North Carolina got me in the trenches.
It wasn't even close. Yeah, come on.
You know, for sure. He'll tell you.
That's great stuff. Hey, while we got a moment, want to tell you about Hus Brewing. Local Arizona brewery owned by Leah and Jeff Huss. Thank you to the Huss family for having us.
Brewed
in Tempe, Arizona. They're here tonight. Proudly only available
over,
in Arizona.
Come on
over, Jeff. Visit findhussbeer.com to discover where Huss beer is sold. Jeff Huss is a Purdue alum. He's a Purdue alum. Huss Brewing Hoop Madness, April 5th to the 7th. $24 cases, a buck per beer. $4.32 crawlers available at all Hus tap rooms. Hus Brewing here at East Monroe Street. It's right next to the Fan Fest and Phoenix Convention Center. Jeff, there literally isn't a better location for a place than what we've got here.
This is, we've done a lot of live shows, Jeff.
Yeah,
we've done a lot of live shows. This blows it away. I mean, everything.
Yes.
Obviously, the weather, the beer. Like, can I take a bunch of the Scottsdale Blonde home?
Of course you can.
I mean, so good.
Right?
By the way, what we didn't realize when we booked it with you, when we agreed to this deal, was it? There's a College Hoops connection here. There's a family connection.
Yes.
And I was like, all right, the name Huss. All of a sudden, Alan Huss, High Point head coach, hits me up yesterday, and he's like, yeah, this is my cousin. So give me a good story about Alan Huss.
Oh, my gosh. I don't.
Got anything good?
I don't know if I do.
I mean, he's done such a good job in year one.
Yeah,
and he didn't think so. Like, he didn't think he would have this type of success.
I don't think anybody did.
Yeah.
They have been incredibly successful. Yeah. I think that they were picked to be number 7 in the Big South.
They were.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And he wins the regular season title. So you're a Purdue fan.
I am.
All right. So tell us, did you go to Purdue?
I went to Purdue. Okay. Graduated 2004.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm out here because I graduated in December. It was a beautiful day. And the temperature, the high for the day was 1.
Yeah.
So I think that's ultimately
you were like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Kind of had something to do with why I came out here.
So you moved out here when?
Moved out here in 2005 after graduating from brewing school. So, yeah.
And then you've been out here since.
And then I've been out here,
I want to ask you about that. So I'm the beer snob out of this group.
Definitely.
I'm the guy that actually cares about, like, what we're drinking instead of just, you know, whatever.
No, I care, but I just don't try everything like you do.
He wants it cold.
Okay.
That's the only requirement. Sometimes
Understood.
It doesn't have to be cold.
That's fine.
I'm the beer snob here. So talk to me about your process of selecting what, like, the ingredients that are going to go into it, what you actually want to, the kind of beer that you're actually trying to make. Like, you got the Mandarin Wheat here. We got the Imperial IPA. That's what I'm drinking over here.
You can
see it's the smaller glass. But talk to me a little bit about that process.
So ultimately, you just have to kind of decide what you want. What is the backbone? What are you looking for, right? And so we make very true-to-style beers at Hus Brewing Company. I've always been a very traditionalist as far as everything that we've made, right? So what is the color that you're looking for? You know, you got the basic things, right? So what's the color? What's the hoppiness? What's the alcohol content and everything else? And then you can go from there. You can make an incredibly high alcohol beer that looks just like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard to do, right? You just have to use 2-row malted barley exclusively or corn sugar and whatnot. Is that Scottsdale Blonde? There you go.
So good. So good.
It is. So cheers.
So good.
Cheers to your Boilers. How do you feel about your Boilers heading into this week, my friend?
I feel great.
Yeah.
I feel great.
You know what? Good for you. Because Purdue fans have waited a long time for this.
Yeah. No, I've waited a hell of a long time, too.
Did you cry like Bobby Hummel?
Did you cry?
I don't. I thought I was going to, and I'm not sure if I
That's a yes.
I think there might have been a tear. I think I said that it was going
to
happen.
Not sure. I don't know.
Maybe.
It was a cry.
I might have to ask your daughter if you actually cried.
Did I cry? When Purdue won?
She's like,
no.
She says I did not.
You were thinking
Will
about.
Will he cry if they win the whole thing?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes is the answer. So my last year at Purdue was Matt Painter was the interim coach. Full disclosure, it took me 4.5 years to graduate. So my last full year was
COVID year before COVID year was the thing.
There you go. You got an extra year of eligibility. My last full year was Gene Katie's last year, who I just saw driving down the road. I said hi to him. But my last half of the year was Matt Painter's first year. So
it's pretty incredible watching that transition. Meanwhile, my entire life, there's been two coaches at Purdue, it's which crazy. Is pretty incredible.
Crazy.
Right?
No, Painter, as I told you before, like he's so different than every other head coach in college basketball.
I just walked downstairs and I just met him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I talked to him about Allen. No, you're talking about Allen at Southern Illinois and everything else. Yeah, we talked
yeah,
about
I mean, he's
Missouri
just,
Valley Conference and
he's,
everything.
He's
so.
The ultimate regular dude when it comes to it. So if Purdue, I'm going to give you a scenario. Okay. If they win it all on Monday night, can we have something here for Purdue fans? Can we get something cooked up? Now, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Yes.
Let them get through Saturday first.
Okay, we'll get through
but
Saturday.
But if they do that, what can we do here for Purdue fans Monday night?
I mean, it might be a rager, right? I don't
rager.
Have any idea.
Absolutely.
I don't even know what that means.
Will you have a shirt on?
No.
I don't know.
are you going to the game?
I am not. No, I looked up yeah.
We got to make it happen.
Yeah,
we gotta get him
yeah,
in.
We gotta
my
that
my
out.
Dad, well, my dad is a Purdue alum as well, and he's out here. And I was trying to get tickets, and I couldn't quite justify some of it. So
wait, here's my advice: wait until closer to game time.
Right, okay. Right.
The prices are going to come down.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
Quite a bit.
Just go out there with $30,000 in cash, holding it up, shirt off.
Just go out
shirt
there
off
with all
is
your
key.
Beer.
That's what you need.
Yeah, no, exactly. Just bring cases and cases of beer, and you'll be all set.
Exactly.
You'll be all
yeah.
set.
Yeah. Thanks
we'll just,
for
we'll just have
us.
You walk up.
You got it.
Jeff has a Robbie Hummel jersey, so just walk up and say, "Hey, I'm Robbie Hummel. Can you let me in?
I have to wear it tonight."
Yeah. Yeah.
I love what you have.
I need a lot more beer. I have to wear it to a party, this Pumps party, which happens every year at the Final Four, and it's a bunch of coaches, and I lost the bet with Hummel, so I have to wear it tonight without anything underneath it, no undershirt. No
Jeff,
no.
I got one more beer nerd question.
Go for
it. Okay, so the way that I've always determined like what breweries I like and what breweries know how to make a good beer is with the lagers, right? Because you could always just hop the shit out of something and make it so that it's just like a 9.3% triple IPA
1,000%.
Or whatever, right? And people like me are going to drink it because we like the stronger beers, like the flavor. Talk to me about the Lopes Lager. You guys partnered with Grand Canyon on this. How did you develop it? How did you
That is a great deal that we have with them. That's a great partnership that we have with them because nobody lets you use their logo for free, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's an actual partnership that we have with them, and so we're doing it's a German Kolsch that's in there, and it's an amazing beer. So it's I don't know what else to say about it.
Well, I know what else we can say.
It's a great partnership.
April 5th to the 7th, Hus Brewing Hoop Madness. It starts tomorrow. $24 cases. $1 per beer. $1 per beer.
He's like, damn, you shouldn't have told him that. We were making money before.
Come on. I know what it cost me to make it. Come on. We're not doing it for that cheap, are we?
I just read what's on the sheet of paper. $4 32-ounce crawlers available at all Hus taprooms. Yep. And that's just it. This is not your only location. We are at 225 East Monroe Street. Come stop and see us. But you have a couple other locations.
Yeah, head up to Central and Camelback is the uptown location. The brewery is down at I-10 and Elliott, which is, South Tempe. And then we have another location called Papago Brewing Company, which is in the Mesa River View behind Bass Pro Shop.
Awesome.
Jeff, thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank
you, Jeff
Hus, for coming by.
Big time. We love being here. Stop and see us. We're back here tomorrow at 4 to 7. We're back here Sunday at 4 to 7. And then apparently Goodman is paying for everybody's beers Monday night after Purdue.
Here, right?
Boiler up.
We'll figure it out.
Boiler up.
That's right.
There he is. We're going to take a timeout. We've got a final segment coming for you here. We'll break down more of our takeaways from Media Day 1 and go around the country with some coaching carousel updates as well. This is the Field of 68 live from Hus Brewing Company in Phoenix.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Haven't heard by now, we are partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using the BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD, and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your own hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. And three, you will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the Final Four. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love, a nice little parlay boost, as well as a ridiculous array of prop bets on anything that you could possibly imagine betting on. BetMGM is and always will be the king of the prop bet. So go download the BetMGM app and use that code FIELD to sign up today. By now, you guys have surely heard about Autograph, an app founded by Tom Brady with the intention of disrupting the way that fans consume content covering their favorite teams. Here's how the app works. All of the podcasters and bloggers and digital creators covering a team have their content sent to that team's page in Autograph. Instead of having to bounce from site to site or try to navigate the only safe for work spaces that are left on X, you just scroll through Autograph. This isn't a hard sell. This is the truth. I'm a UConn fan. I use the Autograph app to keep up with the writers I read and the pods that I listen to. The best part is that every piece of content that you consume gives you reward points. The more you get, the more chances you have at things like discounted tickets and signed memorabilia. Whether you are a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. After a six-month season loaded with cross-country travel, I can promise you that proper recovery is a priority for me these days. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Field of 68. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or the EE system. If you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in New Jersey or at one of the hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. If you're interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/unified68 to learn more and find a center near you. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system.
Welcome back to the Field of 68, live from the Final Four from Huss Brewing Company. We're on East Monroe Street. John Fanta, John Henson, Randolph Childress. I'm surrounded by ACC greatness. And Kevin Sweeney at CBB Central. Is there an underscore in between?
Yeah, there's an underscore.
CBB_Central. All right, let's jump in here. We welcome Kevin in. Kevin, you and I were at the stadium today, getting sound, talking with coaches, talking with players. Your biggest takeaway or two of the media availability sessions today?
I thought Purdue seemed like they had a lot more to prove. Like, I thought it was interesting, you know, it would have been very easy for them to feel like they've achieved something. They made the Final Four. They've got the demon off of them, their back, right? Like, all right, they've done it, right? That team felt incredibly focused, right? Like, I do not think there will be a letdown from this Purdue group on Saturday evening here in Phoenix. Like, I thought they were locked in. I think Matt Painter has just a phenomenal perspective about him. Obviously, we talked to him all year, and I think he's handled everything that's come with some of these March defeats of the past really, really well, but I think handling success at a really high level as well and doing a phenomenal job.
What do you make of that with the Boilermakers?
I think it answers a question that we had. You know, I mean, we've discussed that being an option.
You know, because sometimes when you haven't gotten over the hurdle and then you get over it, there is a tendency to let your hair down and say, mm-hmm. hey, you know what, we did it. Like, we finished it. And you want to win, but when you accomplish something that hasn't happened in quite a long time, and that can happen, a tendency just to relax and not focus and finishing the job.
Next to Zach Edey with this Purdue team, what's the biggest reason why they're here?
You know, it's crazy. I talked to Boo Booey today, was serious, and he was like, listen, man, them guards is nice. Like, don't sleep on Lawyer. You know, he's like, you know, people don't talk about him a lot, but they're tough. So that kind of gave me kind of insight into, you know, their guard play. We don't talk about it a lot, but I think the guard play from Smith and Lawyer were two of the things that people don't talk about a lot.
I think Braden Smith is maybe the most underrated player in the country.
Mm. Like, really?
He has been, and he's finally started to get some of that respect. But the fact that we were talking in mid to late January about him not being one of the top 10 point guards in America, like the way he has run that team, the way that he has contributed consistently for this Purdue team, the way that they've been able to change how they play, right? Purdue last season was so post-up oriented. This year, they're playing out of ball screens. They're trusting Braden Smith to make good decisions with the basketball. They're trusting him to go score if teams really lock down on Zach. Like, he has been everything Purdue could have hoped for and more after taking so much of the criticism for what happened at the end of last year. Like, his growth has been such an incredible story to watch. And look, like, I think it's one of the reasons I think Purdue's in really good hands beyond this year, right? Yes. I think a lot of people feel like yes. this is the end of the window. And I agree that, you know, this is their best chance to go win a championship. You're here. It's a Final Four. But, man, like, Braden Smith's not going anywhere. Fletcher Lawyer's not going anywhere. They're recruiting at a high level. Like, Braden Smith is going to step up and be an All-American next year, and Purdue is not going to fall off a cliff.
And remind me of Smith's recruiting background a little bit, because I remember talking about this last year.
He was, he was a three-star kid. He was a guy that –
five-star kid. Right.
He was a kid – I mean, look, Matt Painter says all the time, he loves to talk about – evaluating, like, it's all about evaluating with Matt Painter, right? He's not recruiting, he's evaluating. And they went out and identified very early that Braden Smith was the type of kid that could help their program. He compared him to Peyton Pritchard a lot last year.
Peyton Pritchard.
When he said that,
Peyton Pritchard,
I was like, I don't know if I buy this. And then then Braden Smith showed up and was a starting point guard in the Big Ten as a freshman, which is very, very hard to do.
And he struggled some.
Yes, he learned.
Peyton Pritchard's tough. I mean, I guess maybe, I don't know. I mean, Peyton Pritchard is a semi-rotational NBA piece. Do we see Braden Smith as that? I don't know.
I'm not sure I'm there, but like when that was said.
He's on a second deal, by the way.
When that was said was before Braden's freshman year, and Painter had coached Braden Smith in college with a Team USA team. He thought that they were similar in kind of their makeup, how they could contribute.
I'll tell you this.
I think he's talking about maybe their toughness and how he –
I don't think he's as talented as Peyton.
Yeah, his mental makeup. Because the way you got to give Braden Smith credit is there were times last year he looked a little bit uncomfortable against pressure.
That's true.
And now he's passed that test with straight A's. I mean, he's blown that away. He's shown you he can handle pressure in key moments and make the right play. And then the other guy I think we're not talking about is Jones and what he's done to this team. Lance Jones has provided a secondary ball handler. And then he's also as a defender. He can take some erratic shots, but he's also a guy that defends the most athletic wings on the other team that gives him a level of toughness.
You know what my takeaway was? It was actually the first coach that we got to talk to today. Kevin Keats, whole attitude, he was just happy as could be. Talked about how he told the guys before practice, 50-50 business and pleasure today. Tomorrow, 75% business, 25% pleasure. Saturday, you're 100% business. But he had his players take out their phones when they got inside the football stadium. He said, fellas, take a picture. Capture this moment. He said, we need to have a little bit of fun. I loved his demeanor.
One, he coaches DJ Burns. So if he coaches DJ Burns, it ain't but so serious you can have it
right.
Because he's coaching DJ Burns. Second thing is, hell, he was fired a month ago, and then now he's got a 2-year extension that may go to two or three more years. So there's a lot to be happy about in Raleigh.
You know, Zach Edey said today in the locker room, and I thought this was really interesting. He said, right now, the country is talking about DJ Burns as this, and I can say this as a bigger gentleman here, you know, as this big refrigerator who just kind of goes around the post. No, Zach Edey goes, huh? No. it's disrespectful how people are talking about how good of a player this kid is, because he is that good of a player.
He is. I don't think it's by accident. You've seen him. He embraces it and he jokes about it. So I think everybody else feels comfortable about it, because you don't expect the guy who's built the way he is to move and play the way he plays. And he uses it to his advantage.
How did you think NC State would be coming into this season?
I didn't think their guard play. I thought that, you know, having Jaquale Joyner and Tarquavion Smith last year, they were as good as a backcourt as there was in the country. Flat out buckets.
Yep.
They could flat out score it. And so that made his job a lot easier. I thought DJ Burns had more responsibility on him this year. Though they brought in Horns, they didn't have the two guards that they could just give the ball to when they played off each other. I thought Horn was one. The other guards all offered something different, but they together, they didn't offer the explosion that Tarquavion Smith had. They didn't offer the defensive ability that Jaquale Joyner had.
You saw the talent, right? Like, I saw it up close. I saw him in practice. You see the talent. And kind of when you, like, take a deep dive into the season, you see, like, Burns was – some games he didn't start, and Horns played 10 minutes against certain teams. And so I think there was some internal turmoil going on. Even when Burns talked about how, man, I don't know what's going on, guys are showing up on time, that is a crazy statement. Like, for college, like,
they got better by guys – how do they say – by addition by subtraction.
Yes, and so – it looks like everyone just said, look, you know, winning makes everybody feel better. It cures all. So they won those games. I think everybody bought in, and this is proves that what that talent ceiling could be, because I think they're at peak, they're at their top.
I think the one thing that I give them so much credit for, and I think it starts with Keats, because Keats is the leader of this group. How many teams did we see down the stretch of the season quit this year, right? Everybody's worried about the portal.
Well,
how am I going to get my next check? How am I going to go advance my own personal interest? They lose four in a row to end the year. Everybody's talking hot seat. Everybody, like, there is so little focus on what this team could actually do. And look, I know it took a little while in the ACC tournament to really get going, but they deserve a ton of credit for showing up to that event, believing that they could win, believing that they could compete, and giving it 100% effort, right? No. Like, nobody mailed it in. Those dudes came in, they said, we're going to fight for as long as it takes, and they've kept fighting to the Final Four.
No greater example than you're down by six with less than a minute to go against Virginia, and you find a way to win that game.
Do you know what's been great about this run with them, though? Outside of DJ Burns, like, and DJ Horn, both DJs, everyone from the throughout this run through the ACC tournament and the NCAA, everyone has had a game that has been big to help them, from Diarra to O'Connell to Casey Morsell. Like, everyone has chipped in. Taylor, all these guys have chipped in and had their moments. Middlebrook have all just had massive games to help them get to the Final Four.
I want to have a quick discussion and get back to the games, because I've got ACC guys around me. And obviously, you've made it known, you know, don't disrespect the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Put some respect on it. You know what I said.
That's right, and I appreciate that. what I want to know is this. Like, as guys that care and love the league so much, when these coaches sit down, and then I'll get to you on this, when these coaches sit down in the spring and summer, in what ways can your league go from four or five to getting back to the 8-9 bids? What needs to happen for this league to not just produce an NCAA tournament run, but we're talking about them in January, February, that, man, the ACC is a great, great, great league.
I think it's out of conference. I think that's the reason Pitt doesn't get in. I think NC State steals a bid from the ACC as well. But just out of conference games. Those are your games that's why Clemson got in. If they would have had a bad out of conference and had
to, right,
they wouldn't have gotten to the tournament. So
they had UAB, yeah, Alabama, yeah, Memphis. They played a bunch of – and I think so, I looked at like five teams on their non-conference that made
sure,
the
they
tournament.
Didn't have a great conference season, but they built up equity.
Yep. They beat North, and they got a couple, you know, they beat at UNC at Chapel Hill.
Is the league missing somewhere?
Well, it's changes, right? You got to realize, let's go back to the Big East a year ago. Was Big East not probably arguably the best league in a year ago?
It's awesome.
They were right there.
Next to the Big 12.
Next to the Big 12. They were considered. They were right there. Xavier was good. They had so many good programs. And then this year they get three teams in.
Right.
Now we can argue more should have been. ACC,
well,
even
one
got
more should have.
Seton Hall, I think, without question, should have gotten in.
Congratulations to the Pirates.
But ACC ends up getting five teams in. And so after that, I think it changes from year to year. I just think the ACC consistently has been put in that space of where it's down, it's down, it's down. And even this year, no one is saying that about the Big East, and they only got three
teams
in.
Let me call call it what it is here. It's time for Louisville basketball to stop being a joke.
Look, I think so much of it is that the brands in this conference are under transition, right? Louisville being so down has hurt the league a ton, but Duke and Carolina are finding who they are post-K and post-Roy, right? Like, I think right now a lot of the brands in this league are starting to find their identity again, right? I think Wake is growing, and Forbes has this thing going in the right direction. Can NC State build on this run with Keats, right? I think Capel's done a phenomenal job the last 2 years.
Great pickup today, by the way, NC State.
Absolutely. Huntley Hatfield. He will be a big piece.
Boeheim had NC State going to the Final Four, by the way, in his bracket.
That's crazy.
He did.
That's crazy.
Right. He also had North Carolina going, and I think another ACC team.
He just picked Clemson. He picked all the ACC teams.
No, seriously. He said he loves ACC.
No, he nailed it.
Yeah.
Hey, who? I love this question. Who would you put your money on to win a national championship sooner, Duke or Carolina?
If I had to put my money, I'm a betting man.
You're asking a North Carolina guy if Duke or Carolina.
Listen, I picked Arizona to go to the Final Four. I got so many screenshots. So I'm going to go North Carolina only because the model that they're using, I may be a little biased, but I am biased. The model that they're using, I don't know. Duke has a bunch of young guys coming in.
No, I like what you're saying. Yeah. Duke has I thought
Duke's going to look like an NBA team next year, but I don't know if they're going to win.
Hey, Hubert Davis had a great year this year, and he's coached in a national championship game. Is it Carolina over Duke, or do you think Cooper Flagg and Duke are going
to
do it?
I would say if you're going to ask me who might get there quicker, then I would have to. If I had to put my money on it, then I'm going to say Duke only because Armando Bacot's not going to be there. We don't know what this team's going to look like.
I think Duke has a chance to be special next year.
Yeah, like Duke, we see the pieces to the puzzle already there next year. Like, we know the incoming class, will Roach be back? They got a lot of decisions they got to make like everybody else. We look at Carolina next year and we don't know. We know they got some talented freshmen coming in, but what does a Carolina team look like when Armando Bacot's
out in the big middle? I mean, Jalen Washington is a full-time guy.
And he's a face-up big, right? Yeah, he's more of a perimeter face-up guy.
And you need a big in this age?
You need a big.
Now, credit,
Kevin
now, credit
Keats said
Hubert,
that today.
He's,
he's like, everyone's going to be recruiting for bigs.
The thing I would say with Carolina, I think Hubert showed a lot this year in that he had to redefine who they were and find ways to, like, look, I think he knew that the formula last year didn't work, and how did he have to switch that up and be more focused on role players who fit into a system and wanted to contribute to winning and didn't need all the credit, right? I think him learning that through this year will help this program get back to a Final Four and win a national championship. I know this year wasn't the year. RJ obviously had a brutal game in a big moment, but I thought there was a ton of growth from Hubert Davis as a coach this year and proved a lot of things. You know, there was a lot said about what Hubert did in 22-23. Like, yes, the criticism was earned, but that wasn't necessarily fair. And I think Hubert proved a lot of those people wrong with the way that they
It's fair when you're the head coach. It's always fair. It's always fair when you're the head coach because that's just what the job requires. You know, and you go preseason number one and you don't make it. Hubert knows that. I think he responded this year, obviously, showing that he's what we think. He's what we thought he would be, and he is. I just think the biggest thing, again, we don't know what this team is going to look like. We don't know how they're going to adjust without Armando Bacot. You know, let's be honest. I mean, he's taken over and had some really talented players. Now, he's recruiting well, but what is it going to look like without the big guy in the middle? And we don't know yet.
Who defensively, he was so special down the stretch, guarding people. I mean, he did so many little things that weren't on the stat sheet. So it's going to be a big question about that anchor.
To your point, I thought the biggest jump that they made was him, talking about Hubert, was getting Armando Bacot to be unselfish. Because he went from being a focal point of a team like Zach Edey touches to hey, I don't even need to get the ball.
Right.
That's the credit I don't think Armando Bacot gets. His maturity and his growth. And that's what I'm saying. It's hard to replace that. Like, that is to get arguably your best player coming in. RJ Davis obviously wins player of the year. But if Armando Bacot is in an unselfish way saying, hey, he's okay with RJ Davis getting these touches, getting this run, his unselfishness is why that team went as far as they did. Did they come up short? Yes. But why they got the number one seed, and that's a lot to replace.
The three of us were at Peach Jam and had the call for a variety of games, but we had Cooper Flagg.
Right.
Cooper Flagg coming to Duke. Do you think the hype is in a good place? Do you think it's going to be out of control? What's your honest expectation for Cooper Flagg at Duke?
Look, I think it's going to be out of control, but I think it's great for college basketball, right?
Can he do it? Can he handle it?
I think he's handled everything so far, right?
Like, can he live up to the hype?
I mean, I don't know what the standard's going to be. If the standard's National Player of the Year, no, that's not fair, right? But I think he will be a dominant college basketball player next year. He will be as good of a freshman as we have seen in a very long time because of the way he impacts the game.
He's just a match for a college. He's a pro.
I think you guys are – well, because let me say this.
Matchup nightmare for
him. He's a matchup, but he's not the score that you guys are associating or we're thinking when we say dominance. And so he's not going to be a guy that's going to come in and give you 20 points. Is he going to be really good? He is.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying as far as expectations for him. Yeah. I'm not saying he's not going to have a great freshman year. I'm not saying he's not a great player. I'm saying – a lot of people will buy into the hype without knowing what his game is.
Yes. Right.
That's what I'm saying.
That's fair.
So he's going to get there, and you're going to think, oh, he's a bucket, and he's this great offensive guy, and he is great, but he's great because he does so many other things.
Right.
That are stuff to stash.
Blocks,
yes.
Rebounds.
Weak side blocking, running the lane.
Plays hard.
He's going to do all those things, pass. It's not going to be, oh, give me the ball, and I'm going to drop 20, 25 a night. That's not his strength, and that's not what this team is going to look like.
We could talk more about this as the week goes on. We got 5 minutes left on this show. I want you to make your case, all right? I'm going to challenge this panel here of experts, whether it's Alabama or NC State. Make a case for the upset and how it could happen in this Final Four.
I'll make my case for NC State only because defensively I think the NC State guards mano-a-mano can potentially give that Purdue guard front a little bit of an issue. And maybe Burns somehow, some way, figures out how to cook Jack Eady. I don't know. But I don't think either of those teams have a chance. I mean, I think
– Really?
I just
– Two blowouts?
I wouldn't say blowouts, but we'll call it wire-to-wire wins.
I think the better chance of upset, I think, is NC State. I think we all would agree to that. I say that because I think that they're willing to play zone, and even when you play Purdue, their style of play isn't to run you out of the gate. You know, they'll play more of a slow it down, throw it inside, drop it, and I think that methodical, they just body punch you to death, will keep NC State around and allow them to be in a game.
I think Purdue's the more vulnerable team. That's fair. I think the one thing I'll say with the Alabama-UConn matchup is, and this is not me giving Dan Hurley any motivation. I'm not saying –
are you about to say Dan Hurley can't get –
No.
Go ahead.
I'm not saying they haven't seen this before, but Alabama's style is not like any other team in college basketball, right? There are very few teams that are going to space you out the way they do, that are going to run and attack, and it takes some time to adjust. And if they can somehow – pull Donovan Klingon away from the basket, mitigate his impact on the game, all of a sudden, you make a couple threes, you apply some game pressure, things get interesting.
You hear that, Dan Hurley? You hear that?
I'm not.
Sweeney just said, you guys can't guard five out. Upset, you're on upset alert.
That's the problem.
Upset alert.
That's the field of 68 upset alert, UConn?
Field of 68 Rob? Upset alert.
Rob.
There's panel members now that are suggesting
you just put UConn on the field of 68 upset alert.
He said UConn hadn't guarded five out like this, and that they're going to knock down some threes, and you guys are in trouble.
That's you guys are in big trouble.
Now, you know what I want to know?
He predicted the upset.
He called his shot.
Not what I said.
Rob, he called his shot, Rob.
Which underdog team has a better chance?
Can I talk to Sweeney first?
Please.
Hey, he called.
Can I talk to Sweeney first?
Go ahead, Doster. Please.
Sweeney, I want you to break down. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that. John Henson needs his drink. Sweeney, I want to ask you this. Have you seen Alabama play defense at all?
I have, yeah, plenty.
You've watched them play?
Yeah.
You've watched them play, okay. How will Alabama get a single stop against a UConn team that is going to run all those sets? How are they going to do it?
So –
He said their best defense is their offense. He don't want to hear that. He called his upset.
Here's the thing. UConn has not felt real.
He must have been listening to the first segment of the show.
UConn has not felt real game pressure.
He's calling the 23 Sacramento Kings. Best
Alabama led by 12 against Purdue. They led by 6 against Creighton and 6 against Arizona early in the season, right? They hit you with these barrages of threes. If they do that early to UConn and put some pressure on, and all of a sudden they can try to hold on with just enough stops, again, I'm not saying it's happening. I think UConn wins this game. I think UConn and Purdue both roll. But if you made me make the case for UConn,
I asked for you to make the case.
Right? Like it's if I'm making the case for Alabama, it's they're very dynamic, they're very unique to play against, and if they can strike lightning quick, take an early lead, and put some pressure on, we haven't seen how UConn will handle that.
Yeah, you.
Here's the thing: as much as I want to hate on Sweeney, I said this last night, and you guys jumped all over me. I think Alabama is the more likely upset of the two because I think the matchup. You correct me if I'm wrong here, Henson. The matchup between NC State and Purdue is about as bad as you can get for NC State.
I don't know about that.
Hey, man, go finish your beer, man.
I already did.
Go finish your beer. Go get another one.
By the way, Pink Pineapple Haze. This stuff you guys come. But I think that so much of what NC State does, and I want your opinion on this, Henson. So much of what
I said NC State could upset.
So much of what NC State does is getting DJ Burns touches in the post and making you make a decision. You got to play one on one against them, and he's going to get a bucket or get a foul. Or you got to send two at him, and he's going to pick you apart because he's going to find wherever that pass is, and he's going to sit there with his back, and he's going to throw that little lefty pass like this, right?
You know,
and they're not going to send two because Zach Edey's down there.
You know,
and he's not going
to
score one on one against.
You
Zach
know what I want you?
I don't
to
think
do?
He will.
In any game, you know what I want you to do is.
What do you want me to do?
We have 90 seconds left.
If you stand behind Fancy. Come around here, stand behind Fancy. Put the mic down. Leave the mic down.
That's right.
Come stand behind Fancy.
This is a matchup breakdown.
That's what it's going to look like. You're staring. This is what it's going to look
like
tomorrow.
I'm not far off DJ Burns.
And when he turns and puts you on his hip, he's getting that shot off. Yeah. That's what it looks like.
Fanta will not get a shot off on me. Let's just get that. Let's get that clear.
Now we need footage of that.
Fancy's windmilling. What are you talking about? Yeah. We got a footage. My guy windmills. What are you talking about?
He is windmilling. That is true.
I'm not getting a shot off. I'll jam on him. Posterization.
Am one.
Let's go. I want to face Goodman one-on-one. I think my lateral quickness.
Goodman doesn't want that smoke.
Your lateral quickness.
Hey, we're going to have Goodman a good
assist. Have you seen him throw a football?
Oh, he cannot throw a football, man.
It's duck shooting, man.
He cannot throw a football.
You're Goodman doesn't have an athletic bone in his body.
That's true. We have 60 have seconds.
I've seen his jump shot. Okay. I have it on video. Yeah, it is Henson.
He's got to stick to the inside the portal.
He's got to stick to the jump
portal updates.
Coming up on tomorrow's show.
Stick to the hot seat, Goodman.
Stick to the hot seat.
We'll discuss more on where Tony Bennett stands in coaches and college basketball. Randolph Childress has him on the Mount Rushmore. Kevin Sweeney doesn't even have him in the top 50.
It's not what I said either. Yeah.
You did say – oh, I forgot about that. Can we talk about that for 15
for
seconds? Sweeney said that Tony Bennett is not a top 50
coach
in
America.
For Mr. Hotballs, for Dagan Hughes, for Trevor Belize, for John Henson, for Randolph Childress, for Kevin Sweeney, for Rob Doster, I'm John Fanta.
See you tomorrow.
4-7 at Husk Brewery. Come
Love
see
y'all.
Us tomorrow.